Good morning, everybody. I hope today finds you guys in a good place. I know I'm thrilled to have some health coming back, so that's a bonus. You guys probably all got affected by that early morning school bug that goes around that's nasty. I know our family got hit by it, so, you know, hopefully you guys are getting healthy out there, too. Just want to let you guys know that next week we have the privilege of our young intern, Stephen, coming to speak for us. And so I want you guys to come out and support him and love on him during that time. This is where I want to encourage you. If you have something to say, take a day, pray about it, and then go and talk to him about it. Or you can come talk to me about it, and we'll deal with whatever he says. I'm sure he'll be right online with the gospel, though, so we don't need to worry about that. But sometimes we get these things in our heads that we need to talk to our pastors about what they said. So just watch out for him, let's guard him, let's protect him, and let's uplift him during this time. During our praise and prayer section here, anybody have anything they want to bring forward for praise or healing that they need at the moment? I'm going to put somebody on the... Oh, sorry, Deanna, yes. For sure, we can pray for that for healing. Absolutely. Thank you. Anyone else?
Remember when we prayed for the fellow that my granddaughter married?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, great. That's excellent. Well, not excellent that he's wearing a brace, but excellent that there's healing. I know for me, I'm going to put somebody on the spot now. So we've had Josh and Fiona join our church here for the past little while. And a few weeks ago, they came and approached me and said, hey, there's some opportunities coming forward. Could you pray for us? And I'm like, I don't really want to pray for that. I'd prefer you not getting those opportunities because it's taken away from us. And I was just joking with them, of course. So I prayed for them that God would lead them where he needs them to. And they've been called to Winnipeg recently as he's going to be doing the newspaper work out there. He tried to explain it to me. I had this glazed over expression on my face because there's all these different positions. And I'm like, wow, I think it was a columnist. Ah, yes, nailed it. Okay. So he's going to be a columnist in the Winnipeg Sun. Okay, great. So that's excellent. And so, you know, it's a praise time, but it's also kind of a sad time. I know we had him in our small group, and we were just blessed to have him. I'd like to just pause at this point in time, actually, and if I can get, like, the elders and people to go over there so we can pray a blessing over Josh and Fiona and Eliana. And just love on them right now as a church family. Uplift them. Join with me, please, in prayer for the Aldrich family. Lord, we thank you so much for the beautiful family that we have in our midst here. And we were so blessed by having them in our presence, by the friendships that we had and the good times, the laughters and the tears that we shed and the grief that we experienced as a small group as we cried over families that were about to be torn apart. And you answered that prayer, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. And so today we just thank you for the community that we developed with the Josh and Fiona. And we just pray that as they get to Winnipeg, Lord, that you would give them courage and you would give them an opening to a beautiful community to be a part of, and that, Lord, you would be work with them in everything that they're doing. That Josh would be blessed through the articles that he releases, and that people would turn to them and learn stuff and understand things about what he's trying to write. In a world that's full of news that we don't know whether it's true or not half the time, Lord, we just pray that the truth comes forward in his columns. We pray for Fiona as well as she's a fantastic mother and caring for a child that, you know, at times it can make you pull your hair out, but what a blessing Eliana is. And we just pray that she continues to strive and understand the beautiful mother that she is created to be right now, and that she continues to persevere through some of the night issues with Eliana. And we pray for Eliana that in the community that she would just be loved and she would develop and nurture into a child of God. Lord, let Winnipeg embrace these people and let them find a church that is beautiful and that you've selected for them. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to continue then praying for the other items that we have. God, we lift you up right now as healing is a major part of what we need as humans, as your creation. And so today we seek out your healing touch for Deanna's mother. As she's experienced some complications and other things with her health. And Lord, we just pray that you take away those complications. We pray that you heal her body and you make it anew. We just pray that during this time that there would be no discouragement on the family, but that they would just come and praise you, Lord, and understand that life is just so valuable. It's so fragile. So we lift up Deanna's mom to you right now. We just pray for that healing touch. We thank you for healings. We thank you for Lee as well. As he continues to heal and he's on track for having a good back again. We just pray that you continue to work in his back and his spinal cord. That he would completely be healed, Lord. And walking around and loving on Joe's Place and all of Moose Jaw. Lord Jesus, we pray this all in your name. Amen. I'm going to begin reading in John 9, and I'm going to start in verse 18 and go to verse 33. It says this, the Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Today I want to discuss some things, and it's really what we know. I want to discuss what we know, because we place great value in things we know. In our society, it places great emphasis on knowledge and its value. I always have to laugh at how at times we can use knowledge as currency. All I have to do is think back on summer camp. You ever been to a summer camp where the counselors all have kind of weird names? They don't use their regular names. Camp Nachman is like that. I went to a place called Camp Camisol, which is just Camp Nachman for Calgarians, right? They don't want to drive all the way up here. It's also an Alliance-run camp. So I was at this camp, and my nickname was Nerf, right? And so when kids saw that, they're all excited. They're like, oh, Nerf, Nerf, Nerf. But there were a few people that went to church that I went to. And so they knew my real name. And in that time, they held that information, that knowledge over all their other counselors. And they pretty much bribed chocolate bars out of them just so they could learn my real name. What we know is important. And to take this even further, what we know as Christians is very important, and it needs to have the highest of value. We know of whom we believe is Jesus Christ. As Paul writes in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:12, that is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We also know the one we need to believe upon, Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer, and that he lives. Job 19:25 says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And we know that through him we have life. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Boy, that's kind of a scary one when you think about that. So obviously, we are people that need to have love for each other. And we know that Jesus one day will return. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So as we look at our passage today, we're going to see kind of three different persons that know something. The parents of the healed man, the leaders of Judaism, mostly consisting of the Pharisees, and the man who was born blind but was now healed. But they also don't know something. John 9 makes very clear what these people know and what they do not know. And so we want to look at this and discover what this means for us and what we know. We start off in this passage by looking at the parents of the healed man. The Pharisees sent for the parents as they were going to interrogate these parents. They really wanted to obliterate the factual aspects of this healing. Pharisees, through the parents' testimony, are hoping to discredit the healed man and his story, and in the end, really labeling Jesus as a fraud because of it. John 9:19 said this, is this your son, they asked, is this the one who you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? The Pharisees are trying to discover what the parents know, as they're hoping that the parents are just liars and will make the truth known about this miracle. And as we read, the parents, they're like, no, he is our son. And we know that he was born blind, but now we can see. We just don't know who opened his eyes. We just don't know how it happened. And they redirect the Pharisees back towards the healed man. So I want us to take note of what these parents said in this moment. First, they identify what they do know. They identify that the healed man is in fact their son. That shouldn't be a shocker to us. It says that in the text right there. And it also says that their son was in fact born blind. Great. This is what they knew, and there is nothing wrong with what they know at this moment. It all adds up, and it is all very truthful. And they presented these items without fear. But, as we just read in verse 21, the Pharisees were only given partial truths. You see, these parents, they deny knowing their son had come, how he had come to see. And they deny the one who did the miracle. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know, they say. They're going to deny how their son came to see. And they're going to deny knowing Jesus performed this miracle. You know, all we have to do is look closely at their testimony and see that they knew exactly how their son was healed and who did it. They say how he can see now or who opened his eyes. That right there reveals to us that they knew exactly how things functioned. They did not just say, we don't know how he can suddenly see. We don't know. He's seen. It's a miracle. It's amazing. But they word it in that way. Why would they not include this in their testimony? Why wouldn't they include the Jesus aspect about it? Why not give Jesus credit? I was thinking about this and praying about this. If I, you know, if Mercy was blind and someone came and rubbed spit mud in her eyes and made her see again, I would be just so overjoyed and filled with joy. I would thank that person and give them all the credit. I would remember that person and I would remember how it was done. As Mercy would have come gleefully telling me how she was healed. Fear is a powerful tool of the enemy, isn't it? The problem that we're presented with here is one of fear, as they are afraid of the wrath of the cultural, political, and religious people in this moment. John 9:22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. In other words, they did not want to get kicked out of their church nor their community. The leaders are at this time, they're fully prepared to excommunicate those who confess to Jesus being the Messiah. And so the parents in their fear did not want to get involved in this event that occurred involving their son in Jesus. They knew the truth, but in the end it was a truth they did not want to know. As in that moment they were so afraid of the earthly flawed people's wrath that they're about to be sent out of a synagogue. And so they redirected and wanted nothing to do with this interrogation anymore. You know, we can actually find people like this in our church today. As Jesus and all of his truths, they've been proclaimed, and people understand on an intellectual level, and as they know him and believe on him, but for some reason they cannot admit it. And they avoid any discussion about Jesus in public. The thing is we don't know if eventually the parents came to be followers of Jesus and acknowledge him. We can hope and they did. We pray that their knowledge would eventually change their hearts and that time would eventually lead to them pursuing Jesus. John's gospel just doesn't tell us. But in this moment, they could not acknowledge the truth of Jesus. It's such a struggle today at times, is it not? Such a struggle at times to acknowledge Jesus in public for fear of public opinion or someone else having a different idea of who Jesus is. The parents only partially present what they know. Not the whole thing. So then we move on to the next peoples in this story, and it's the Pharisees. They get an opportunity to share their knowledge. These are the interrogators of the parents, and later on of the interrogators of the healed man. They make very clear what they know, but they also state what they do not know. They'd completed their cross-examination of the parents and they failed to get what they were looking for. The damaging testimony was nowhere to be found. So they bring in the man who was healed one more time. This time they turn up their aggression to a whole nother level of their investigation as they get more thorough in their questions and what they want answered. At this moment, I want us to, it's probably fair to assume that the healed man was not present for his parents' interrogation, as when the Pharisees start at the healed man for the second time, they make it seem as though they had some scandalous evidence presented to them by his parents. In John 9:24, it says this, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. So in a sense, they are presenting that, oh, your parents told us something, but the parents didn't say anything. And so they're trying to play it off in some way that they have some secret information. They would eventually exchange some more words with the healed man, and it would eventually say this in John 9:29. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Did you pick up on what they know? Did you catch that in there? First off, they know at least from their perspective that Jesus is a sinner. And they also knew that God spoke to Moses. What did they not know, though? They did not know Jesus' origins. They do not know where he comes from. And so this is where things really get interesting and at the same time very confusing for someone who's been around these Pharisees and listened to the words that they've had. Their claim and their denial are in complete contradiction to one another. That which they know and that which they do not know actually contradict if you look at it really closely. John chapter 7 verse 27 states this, but we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. Wait, what? How does that work? How do you say you know him, and then you say you do not know him, or even where he came from in John 9:29? By this statement in John 9, we see that by not knowing him or his origin as well, that they cannot actually know if he is a sinner or not. So they are contradicting themselves on so many different levels here. It's not just on the fact that they stated at one point in time, a few days earlier, oh yeah, we totally know Jesus. And then a few days later, they're saying we don't know him nor his origins. It's not possible. They can't possibly understand who Jesus is. They cannot accuse him of being a sinner if they do not know him. But these men are people who think they know the truth. They believe they know it. But in reality, they are just ignorant of the truth. The parents, they knew the truth, but they were afraid to reveal the whole truth. The Pharisees, though, they essentially knew nothing. They wanted to know, or at least, at the very least, be known as the ones who know all. Have you ever come across people like that? I'm sure you have, where they're these know-it-alls, and they just need to be the ones that know it all. That's the Pharisees. And Jesus, he's the one that points out that they know nothing later on in John 9. And these people, unfortunately, they are still around today as they feel that they know all but do not know Jesus personally. I just have to look at people like Marty Sampson and Joshua Harris, who just recently came out in some sort of bold declaration that they're uncomfortable with certain aspects of the scriptures. What a devastating, devastating thing to do. These are people that once held the spotlight in some sort of worship fashion, but they couldn't come to terms with the reality of who Jesus is and who he is for everybody in this world. Joshua Harris wrote, I kissed dating goodbye. And he sure did in a sense, I guess, because right now he's struggling to even keep his marriage together because he wants to leave his wife for another woman. That's just disgusting. So these Pharisees, they still exist in our churches today. And guess what? Those same people, they actually pull other people down with them. It is quite gross, and it is very unfortunate. The last person in this text that we're looking at today is the man that is born blind. And he is now healed. The healed man starts off by stating that which he does not know. In John 9:29, he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Remember, this man had not even seen Jesus yet, and he fully admits to not knowing everything about Jesus. He could not even discuss the character of Jesus in that moment, as all he knew was that Jesus was the man that healed him. This is all that he knew for sure. And not one thing these men were saying in that moment, these Pharisees, could create doubt in the heart of who had healed him during their interrogation. This man shows the heart of a genuine Christian. That's right, I just said that. The man that knows almost nothing about Jesus in this moment, he shows the heart of a true Christian. And here's how. He did not know everything about Jesus because the finite cannot exhaust the infinite. The knowledge this man had was knowledge that he truly knew. He had true knowledge. It's okay to not know everything about Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, guess what? We know what we truly know. We don't know everything about him. And that is very important for us as we personally present our testimony, as we personally meet Jesus. We will not know everything about him. We will not know everything about God. God is infinite. We are not. And so we need to remember that kind of humbleness when we approach our testimony. We're presented three positions in John 9. The parents, the Pharisees, and the healed man. So why is it that the healed man's testimony is different? Is his testimony one that should be emulated? Yes, absolutely. And here's why. He began his testimony with his limited knowledge. He started in humility as he humbly stated his lack of knowing. Look at each person and persons gathered in this story. They all stated what they know and what they don't know. But the Pharisees and the parents, they started off with what they do know. And their lack of knowledge only came as an afterthought. The parents said, "We know he is our son. We know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know." And the Pharisees said, "We know this man is a sinner. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Both expressed what they knew, and they stressed these points to those listening. All this did was lead to cowardice for the parents and actually knowing nothing in the first place for the Pharisees. The healed man, he started with ignorance. And let me tell you, this is a hard thing to do nowadays. To come out to somebody and be like, "Yeah, I there's aspects about this walk with Jesus that I have no idea about." But yet he would go on to affirm what he did know as a result of God's revelation to him. No one can know God by means of the mind or other human instruments. Job 11:7 says this, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty?" 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit." We need to start with humility. We need to begin with our ignorance, just as we begin with our sin. Because in the end, it's God that reveals himself to us. And he does it through the word and through the person of Jesus Christ. It's done through his Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit falls upon us. Apart from that, we know nothing. We are just like the Pharisees. And so in looking at the now healed man, we should also see that his understanding of his lacking of personal knowledge makes it so we can recognize the absence of knowledge in others. In John 9, we read of how he recognizes the leaders for their inability to know anything in this situation. These supposed educated Jewish leaders did not know. And so this leads us to a humorous aspect of this passage, especially for those who enjoy and appreciate sarcasm. I kind of really enjoy this part. It's kind of cool. But the Pharisees, they had just come at the heel, had just come at the heel now with their interrogation and cross-examination with these claims of, we know Jesus is a sinner. We know that God spoke to Moses. We don't know where he comes from. And it's at this particular point in the discussion that the Pharisees are really trying to drag Jesus through the mud and speak poorly of him. Think of the knowledge of this healed man in that moment, and also the sassiness as he says this in verse 30. Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. That's not him just exclaiming something here. He is being very sarcastic and sassy with the Pharisees. And in this moment, the blind man understood that the Pharisees, they knew nothing of Jesus. They did not even know the most basic of things with regards to who Jesus was. And the blind man saw this and he saw through them in their hearts. In this moment, he understood that their lack of knowledge, but it was all in light of the lack of his knowledge. You see, the sad thing is people still seem to toot their own horns on how much they know or the knowledge that they possess. Gossip is a currency, and, you know, holding on to somebody's deep, dark secrets is something that we're just like, you shouldn't have told me that, because maybe later on I'll use this against you. Ones who are usually labeled fools are actually people who are overly sure in what they know. That's kind of interesting if you want to look at that. Because all you have to do is look at the political leaders in the upcoming election and know this to be true. They claim to know something, but they're making themselves kind of look like fools. The tragic thinking is also found in our churches as well. And all we have to do is look at present-day examples like Bill Hybels or even Joel Osteen to see that this kind of thought process has not changed. They claim to know something, but in the end, they're really knowing nothing, and it shows in their Christian character and morals. So what we have before us is a blind man who can now see, and he's done away with false self-confidence. You know, the Pharisees, they're accused of having this. But he's also done away with his confidence in others, specifically the Pharisees in this moment. But this healed man, he's in a state of truly knowing certain things. Because we read in John 9:25 this. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. This was his starting point. There were no frills, no fancy extras, as these would come later. Just as we discussed his faith growing last week, we can see that what he knows is also increasing. In his discussion with the Pharisees, he was firm in what had just occurred, and he took a stand on those certainties. Friends, this man was healed by Jesus, and this was something that he was certain about. What are you certain about today? Do you have any certainties? I say this, you need to be certain of Jesus, and you need to be certain of the change that he creates in you. A well-known theologian named Martin Luther would say this, I am only a man and not God and am liable to make mistakes. You know, if you ever want to do research on an interesting theologian, look at Martin Luther. He did some pretty crazy things. He would go up to his room and beat himself sometimes after making a huge mistake. It's quite intense. But people, what would happen is they would debate Martin Luther in public all the time, and they would press in on him about Jesus. And this would be the times that he became more certain of that which he did, knowing when it came to Jesus. He knew that salvation is by grace through faith. And he knew that the word of God is powerful and that in the end, the word of God will ultimately prevail. Martin Luther wasn't afraid to engage people in public. He wasn't afraid to let his knowledge, what he knew, be known to others. So I say to you, be certain of Jesus and do not be afraid of that certainty. This means that you need to take your eyes off of yourself. This is something that we are pretty good at doing, which is being self-absorbed, isn't it? I guess at times, if we say that it doesn't affect us, we should probably take a look at our lives in the mirror again. We're all affected by this. And you need to take your eyes off of others, because other people will let you down, or they'll have differing opinions or judge you for the ones that you have. And we need to move our eyes to Jesus and focus on him. See, spiritual knowledge is based upon the intervention of God in history and the personal revelation of God by the Holy Spirit to the human soul. So, my question to you today is, what do you know? What did the healed man know? Let's start with him. You see, he knew a little at first. And that became the basis of his learning, even more so as he discovered the truth of Jesus. Jesus healed him. He knew this. And he eventually came to know that Jesus is God. You just have to read to the end of chapter 9 to figure that out as he bows down and worships him. We see the growth of his knowledge play out in his interaction with the Pharisees. The Pharisees stated Jesus was a sinner, and the blind man pointed out he cannot argue this point. All he knew was that Jesus healed him. But wait, as he thought about this and the Pharisees pressed in even harder, he had more to say on the matter. He would start talking about how sinners do not have a claim upon God. He does not hear them. Wait, Romans 3:23, it states, who is a sinner? It makes it very clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. James does not tell us to go to sinners and seek out prayer for healing. He tells us to go to the elders of the church and be anointed for prayer. God listens to those who do his will. And that's people in right relationship with him. The blind man knows this, and he understood that God heard Jesus on the matter of his healing. This meant that Jesus is in God's will, and the healed man reasoned that Jesus must be God. Jesus becomes the Savior to this man. Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. And it's because of who he is and his origins. All Christians do not know exhaustively when it comes to matters of God and spiritual things. But those who follow Jesus, they truly know Jesus. Because we have the basis of God's written word and his incarnate revelation. It is the way we grow in knowledge. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Friends, get to know Jesus today. Know him with your heart, your soul, and your mind. I'm going to call the worship team forward as I close in prayer. God, we thank you for today. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit and how your Holy Spirit can fill us and bring knowledge to us. Lord, we just pray that this knowledge, it's more than just head knowledge, but is knowledge of the heart, is knowledge of action. And so we get out there and we spread this knowledge without fear, without worry of being excommunicated from something or pushed away, Lord Jesus. We pray that we have the boldness of the blind man to explain exactly what we know. But in the first place, being filled with humility and in humbleness, let people know what we don't know. God, we lift your name up. And we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.